And welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian podcast that talks about the daily challenges that we have, and we want to help you in your faith in a practical way.
Yes.
My name, Steve Androlonis. I'm a pastor at Greater Grace Church here in Baltimore. With me is Philippe Siragi, and we have a topic today.
We are
going through this week about being in the world, but not of the world.
Correct.
Two prepositions there, in, of. We live in a space created by God, a space of time, and in a cosmic system that was surrendered to the Prince of Darkness by the fall of Adam. That's big theology. We're not talking about that today. Someone else can talk about that.
Right there.
I just said something. But we are not of the world. That means we are not owned by the world. But living in the world means that we operate as salt and light and believers in the scriptures, living in fellowship as the church of Christ, being members in particular of his body. And we have a topic today. It's pretty practical, very practical.
Very practical.
And you might find yourself seeking more quiet, more rest, more peace in your relationship and in your work with God and for God. And so we're talking about the idea of holiday, vacation, and rest.
Yes.
And I kick it over to Philippe. He has some things to say about it, I think.
Yes. Well, you do as well. Before we do enter the topic, so that's the week, this week, we're discussing being in the world, not off the world. And that comes from the prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17. It's not exactly set this way, but he mentioned those two things. And as you and I were talking earlier, there's two ways we can read that is we're in the world, you know, we're not of the world. That's very clearly. And then we understand what that means. We're citizens of heaven. We belong to Christ. We serve a different kingdom. We don't want to serve the devil. And you already made the point that this kingdom is his for a season. And we want to usher in the kingdom of God. That's what we want to be busy with. But we're still in this world. That means we're in the world we're not supposed to be in one way. That's not the world that God wanted originally. He put us in the Garden of Eden. But then when we say we're in the world, there's two ways we can understand that. We're not of the world, but we're in the world. Like, darn it. You know, I don't want to be here. I'm not supposed to be here. And I complain. Or we can be in the world and just like Mordecai said to Esther, maybe for such a time as this. I think God being sovereign, he had you born in the year you were born. It had me born in the year I was born. But he had Jehu born in the year he was born because he wanted us to be here in 2025. And so this is an opportunity for us to understand that this is not a complaint. Jesus is not making a point. Sorry, guys, we messed up the program. You were not supposed to be here. You're not of the world. Unfortunately, you're in. Make the best of it. Not at all. He wants us to be in here because he wants us to grow in the knowledge of him. He wants us to be serving him. He wants us to be a light. You said the light, the salt, and I would add ambassador also. Yeah. We're those three items for Christ. We're salt of the earth, light of the world, and ambassador for Christ. And in a way, this is one way we can usher in the conversation. Being an ambassador, especially in a hostile environment, like you don't come up with your own policies. You try to present with wisdom and diplomacy the policies from the countries you've been sent from. And if you and I are ambassadors of heaven, then we don't have something personal to say to the world. We have something to bring from God to the world.
Yes.
So that's what we're talking about today. And then when we will discuss rest, holidays and vacations, which are two different things, we'll make that clear for you in a moment. That's what we're trying to do. Like, I want to be here. I want to take this as an opportunity. I'm not complaining to God. You should have taken me away when you saved me. God wanted us to be here, and then we want to be salt. We want to be light. We'll be an ambassador. And that includes the way we live our lives in holidays, in feasts, and also in vacation.
Yeah.
And that's very important.
Yeah.
Right?
It's interesting that you're talking about that when you talk about in the world, not of the world. Now there's a Jesus series out there. You probably all like it. And I think you know what I'm talking about. And there's like there's a animation and then also t-shirts that talk about swimming against the tide.
Yeah.
Like all the fish are going one way yes. and you are a part of a fish that's going the other way. And that's, you know, in some real way, we do swim against the tide. But I'm reminded that, you know, when in Ephesians, Paul's talking about when we put on the whole armor of God, we stand.
Yes.
And I'm thinking like, you know, when the tide of the world is going a certain way, swimming against it is one effort. Another thing is to stand in rest mm-hmm. of the finished work that yes. Jesus accomplished. And I'm thinking about like when we're talking about holiday. Now, for instance, let's talk about our church.
Yes.
We don't swim against the tide as it relates to a certain thing that is an American cultural icon, I guess. And that is Super Bowl Sunday. It's yes. like now I have seen amazing pictures of back when, your country, France,
yes.
was the creme de la creme
at the time
of the football world. World football, not American football.
Yes.
You know, the round ball with black things on it. And it's called soccer yeah. in our country, but it's really called football around the world. And we know that when France was winning the European Cup or when France was lifting the World Cup, all of the Champs-Élysées is wall-to-wall people waving yes. flags, miles. Celebrating and everything like that. And yes. I know for a fact, because Pastor Texier's wife, God bless her, we're praying for her. Mm-hmm. Pascal was telling me how, you know, the Sunday night service had to accommodate for the championship and everyone went yes. out to be in the crowd celebrating. We are the champions, yes. right? It's like, so, you know, like on our evening of the Super Bowl here, we move our church service so that people yes. go and watch the yes. Super Bowl. Yeah. And like some people would say, that's a compromising element and you should be ashamed of yourself.
Oh, we should.
And it's like, it is like, so like you're saying, we yeah. are in the world and yes. like, you know, like being in the world, we can live according to the rhythms of the world mm-hmm. with righteousness
yes.
that we wear.
Yes.
And, you know, the thing is that in the sporting culture in America, it's one of the unfiltered times when an athlete gets a microphone in his faith and he says, I give all the glory to Jesus God, Christ, yes. my Lord and Savior, yes. and it can't be stopped. And there's 80 million viewers or something yes. like that. So I'm just yeah. saying, like, when we talk about holiday, when we talk about vacation, when we talk about Sabbath and rest, mm-hmm. we want to talk about, you know, how God, you know, what would you say? You said it's like whatever we yes. do to the glory of God.
Colossians 3:17.
Your turn.
Yeah, no, I think it's, I mean, yeah, I want to jump on what you're saying. It's funny how sometimes, oh my God, your church is changing the time of the evening service on Sunday. And then my response would be, okay, if you're bothered by the church who changes the time, you should be bothered by the church that doesn't have a service altogether or cancel the service maybe at some point. Would I be bothered if the church would cancel one service a year for a certain event? I wouldn't. But it's funny how we get so legalistic about things. And then we'll talk about, you know, the mistake we make sometimes by thinking when we're busy, we're spiritual, or we feel our schedule, we're spiritual. But before we do, because we're going to address two things, holidays and vacations, or feasts, you might say, yeah. and vacations, like Christmas, Easter, and, mm-hmm. and you know, whatever, and those things.
New Year's Day,
yeah.
July 4th in America, Bastille yes. Day in yes. France.
Memorial Day.
Memorial you know. Day, yeah, those
so
kind
all
of
these
things.
Days and the vacation that we take with our family, ourselves, with friends, and we don't want to be misunderstood. Like what we want is challenge all of us to realize that whatever we do, as we read earlier, Colossians 3:17, we do it for the glory of God. But before we talk about this, I think we have to talk about the importance of rest in the Bible.
Yeah, okay.
The second institution in the Bible besides marriage and family has been the rest.
Yeah.
God, you know, so before the church, before the law, before the sacrifices, before anything, God instituted rest. And then when Jesus was challenged by the Pharisees about rest, he actually showed that when he said Mark 2:27 that Sabbath was made, you know, for men and not made for the Sabbath.
The Sabbath.
And what he means by that is that we Sabbath is a gift from God, but it's not just a law, it's a rest. And I think the fact that he made that point is so interesting, because instead of saying, well, it's not because, you know, he's not really asking for us to keep the Saturday free. He's asking us to understand the importance of rest in that way. And I think that's very important. So in the Bible, I think we have this concept that God knows that we have this tendency of being hyperactive or lazy in both ways. But when you're lazy or hyperactive, there's one thing you have in common. You don't respect the Sabbath. If you're lazy, you have a Sabbath every 7 days. And then if you're a workaholic, you don't have any Sabbath at all. But in both ways, you're not respecting a set time that God is giving you to rest purposefully, intentionally. And that's maybe one thing we have to understand. So when we talk about holidays and vacation, we're not disregarding the importance of those things. We are actually making the point that rest is an important thing, part of the church life and of our personal life. A couple of things we can say about this. As I said earlier, we make the mistake sometimes to thinking that being busy is being spiritual. That's a complete false understanding. It's a complete false idea. And I think you and I have been in ministry as leaders long enough to realize some people get very involved in their church because they don't want to be at home. But God gave them a responsibility to be fathers, mothers, husbands, wives have responsibility at their home. It's not because I show up to everything at church that I'm more spiritual than somebody who doesn't. I think if God instituted family and rest, that tells you that church is not even in the third position in that way. So in terms of so my priorities has to be have to be right in the sense. So being busy is not the same thing as being spiritual. And I think we use the word workaholic in English.
Yeah.
And that seems to be, you know, I hear the expressions, oh, you know, this guy or this lady, they're so hard, you know, they're hardworking. I understand. And I think it's a good thing not to be lazy, but there's a difference between, there's a good medium between being lazy and being a workaholic.
Yeah.
And it's being balanced. That's what we're talking about. And I remember, so I think I told you a little bit of a story. So when we got married, Francois and I, we flew to our honeymoon. We came back on a Saturday. And I went to work that Saturday. So we flew in early in the morning. I went to work. I told Francois, I'll be here in the afternoon. And you and I can do something, maybe go out, something. So I come home, it's 5 o'clock. And she looks at me, that's not the afternoon. I'm thinking, well, it is. Because for me, I usually go home at 11, the midnight when I'm done working. And then she says, no, the whole day like is ruined. There's nothing we can do. I'm thinking, I don't know what she's talking about. And I realized I had to make adjustments when I got married. I cannot have a single life. And I can also realize with the years, if not 100% sure, but I think most likely I was this way because I didn't have an identity in Christ. Yeah. And I thought if I'm a hardworking workaholic and accomplishing so many things, here is my resume, you know, here's my accomplishment list, my checklist. I'm a good guy. I'm working hard. I'm doing these. People are impressed because I can pull an all-nighter. And I have a wife and she looks at me and says, that's not going to work. You know, this is it. No, you and I, this is it, you know. So we had to make adjustments and I had to adjust mostly. And one thing I had to learn is the importance of my relationship with my wife and also the importance of resting. Yeah. And learning this give me your balance. You know?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think anything could be turned into an idol.
Yes.
And you're saying like when a workaholic is basically seeing the things that he does as necessary for his identity. Mm-hmm. So he's not resting in who he is in Christ. He's feeling like, and your job, you felt you came home from your honeymoon. You just had to go to your job, do it. And you're like, you know, like you said, you had arrived back from your honeymoon. You didn't even get settled into your place. You're back at work and you're back at 5 o'clock. And yeah, you had to have like sort of a discussion. And we have, you know, God can teach us, you know, what, you know, now in the days of Jesus, we know that the religious leaders had turned Sabbath keeping, not Sabbath itself, but Sabbath keeping into something of an idol. And I have my suspicions that the reason they were upset with Jesus healing and feeding and doing miracles on the Sabbath was because, you know, it diminished the offerings coming to the temple. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about this. I haven't studied the temple. It's a possibility that you had to go buy your animal, make your offering, and then go get your prayer for healing. Mm-hmm. You know, come on the Sabbath, you know, don't, this is how we do it, you know, but Jesus, you're just like, you're just guy, stand up, stretch out his hand on the Sabbath. It's like, you know, there's 6 days when you can come and get that done. You don't do it. And so we know that all of the rules that they had, you know, had attached to Sabbath keeping had become something of an idol, and mm-hmm. a workaholic does that. Now, in Proverbs 6, it talks about the ant and the sluggard, mm-hmm. and it says, who goes and gets their food in harvest. But the food is brought back to the colony of the ants to be eaten. Mm-hmm. It's like a feast kind of thing. It's like, okay, the ant, yes, you can be a sluggard and not prepare for your family, like you were saying. It's like you could be very much caught up in all of the whirlwind of even ministry. And there's a book, I think it's named by a man named Randall Arthur. It's called Wisdom Hunter. And the beginning of that book talks about a superstar pastor who is like so involved in his church and so involved in his ministry that he loses his daughter. His daughter gets pregnant out of wedlock. She dies in childbirth. That's like sort of the premise for him, and it crushes him. And then his wife finds out about the daughter dying in childbirth, and the wife dies, and suddenly he's left with like everything that he has built with all of his business and everything like that is nothing. And the whole book follows the way that he has to sort of restored and revived by the Lord into what is real work mm-hmm. for the ministry. Mm-hmm. And real work for the ministry involves like honoring holiday, Sabbath, rest. You know, I mean, in Europe, you go on holiday, and it's usually in this space and time. August is the big holiday season when people go and they don't do what they're doing the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. They go and do this, and it's like they have a healthier, maybe, I'm thinking in those cultures, in the cultures where you're from, they have a healthier idea, concept of holiday and rest and spending time apart from the business of life than we do in like, you know, rugged individual America, where we have to drive across and make our claim and work and build. There is no, there's like you're saying, we're trying to strike a healthy balance from the scriptures. And some people have used the scriptures to drive people.
Yes.
To drive people. You're not doing enough. Yeah. You think you're trying to, you don't see the benefit of having a time apart from the normal flow of a business life.
Yeah. I think when Jesus says, you know, to it's Matthew, I'm trying to remember the when he congratulated the servants, he says, the well done, faithful servant. He didn't say, well done, successful servant. He didn't say, well done, busy servant. He didn't say any of that. You know, and everybody was rewarded according to their capacity. Also, according to their responsibility, where they were given. So what it means is this, is God is not rewarding the amount of things that we're doing. He's rewarding the motivation with which we're doing it. And that's so interesting when you look at the Bema Seat. You know, we'll go through this only judgment, really, you can call it this way, the Bema Seat, where Christians' actions will go through that judgment as, and when you look at those, they're either precious or stones and gold, or they're not, and then you stumble. You have hay but when you look at the text, really, it's really speaking about how not what we've done, but what we've done it. Like, what was my motivation? Am I doing it for Christ? Am I doing it for myself? And I think this is a very important thing to realize as Christians. So sometimes we're so afraid of rest, we're afraid of vacations because if in the meantime I'm not serving God, but what if I go on rest? What if I take some time off and I do it for the glory of God? And that leads us maybe to Mark 6, you know, 31st, I think it's I'm going to put it up on my phone, where Jesus tells his disciples who are tired, let's go and get some rest, you know, and Mark 6, right? I put 31 here, but I'm not sure. Let me check that right now. Mark 6:31. Hold on for a second. There shouldn't be any silence. No, then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they have done and what they have taught. And he said to them, come aside yourselves and to a deserted place and rest for a while. And so it's Jesus says, okay, well, you did a lot of work. Let's get some rest a little
bit. Some downtime.
And then, but 33, the multitude saw them departing and he knew him and where they were going. So they go on the other side or wherever they're going. And they find another crowd of people waiting for them. And Jesus just starts serving again. So that's also the other side of things, is that sometimes we schedule rest, but because we do it for the glory of God, we're also available. And that means that when we, you know, we'll talk about holidays, but I just want to make a point about vacations is, you know, so I look at this and God can tell me come and rest, period. God can also tell me come and rest, but
yeah,
I got something for you over here. Like, is it, like, I don't know, imagine someone who has a habit of reading their Bible, praying, but not when they're going on vacation.
Yeah.
That clearly shows that I'm getting a rest from God. You know, can God come along?
Mm.
You know, that's one question we can ask ourselves. Do I do everything for the glory of God? Galatians 3:17. And that's how we differ from the world. The world has clear labels, you know, in one way, like I'm going to worship my God, which is my work. And I'm going to worship myself when I'm on vacation. Mm-hmm. I worship God both when I'm busy, when I'm not. That's the whole point. Like if I'm, whatever my hands finds, I do it for the glory of God. I do it gladly. And that's the point. And I think in one way, there's two ways we can understand when we look at vacations and rest. We can take it as a gift from God. This is a privilege for me. It's a blessing. It's a resting time. And I can take my vacation. I go with my family. I take 3 days, 5 days, 7 days, 10 days. No, it doesn't really matter. Or I can look at this as being entitlement and selfish. In a way, I'm doing this for me. And how many times do we know people come back from vacation tired or disappointed because they had tensions? They don't know how to live together, so they live better when they're apart. And all those things show really that I'm going on vacation for myself in a selfish way, and it's a godless time. But then can I take the same week or 10 days, whatever that is, taking my family with me, take a complete rest, just being cut off from my busy life, but also keep God first in my time away. And that's exactly what the Bible tells us. Yes, the rest is also a time where we ponder on God, we meditate on Him, we're thankful for the privilege we have. In many nations, actually 90% of the people on the planet don't have this capacity. We're thinking about, you know, sometimes we compare, I hear Americans, oh, you guys have 5 days, 5 week of vacations per year, we only have 3 in America. Okay, yes, it's 2 is better than 2 more. It's 2 more, okay. But then I've been visiting many, many countries in Africa where there's not even that. And people have to work to survive. So can I look at this and realize, okay, yes, I can take some of my time off. And then, yes, God is in it. But then God has to be in it.
Yeah.
You know, in that way.
Some people work very hard at vacationing. You would say,
yes.
You would say they're so tense and they get home. They don't really rest until they get back from their vacation because it becomes, you know, it's, but I agree, like recreation, that's a word.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing it, you know, recreation is related to like sports leagues and softball teams and stuff like that. And, you know, I mean, the word just is saying that you should like, you know, look for a way of reviving yourself and restoring. And, you know, a family vacation, we take one. Generally, our whole family, we go to a place and, you know, we try to avoid, you know, being at work. You know, we're enjoying each other. And, that's a rest. You know, God created, you know, 6 days, it said, and on the seventh day, he chose not to do anything. You know, it was his choice. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, you know, and, I think rest, the concept of rest or Sabbath is really an act of faith, because we see that when the manna was coming. God said, you're going to get twice as much on Saturday. Don't go out. Or you're going to get twice so much on this day, the day before the Sabbath, because on the Sabbath day, you're not supposed to be gathering and doing these kind of things. You're supposed to be settled. And when we think about the people of Israel, and they had been in slavery for all these years, we don't read anywhere of them ever resting in those 400 some years that they were enslaved. Now, remember, Israel, the whole son of Israel, the son of Jacob, Joseph, was responsible for Egypt being an empire in existence because of what God gave him. And now this group of people is being driven to build, to make bricks. And then, you know, they had no concept of what it meant to have a down day.
Yes.
I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
They were whipped throughout their existence there. So what God is saying, yes, you're getting double because you're not going to do anything tomorrow. And like they had to learn that. It was an instructional thing like that. The same thing when they got into the land, God gave prescriptions. You plant, you harvest, you plant, your harvest is a cycle. In this year, you're going to get triple because you're going to eat this year. Next year, you're going to let the land rest. And then the following year, you're going to plant, but you're not going to get another harvest until this year. So we know at the end of 2 Chronicles, this is the only place where this is. It seemed like Israel did not honor God's prescription to let the land rest. So he had to get them off the land because they overused it. So we can overuse ourselves. Like if we use that allegory, we take the fields that Israel had. They were supposed to be planted and harvested. Our lives are given from God. You know, we could say our soul is like a garden. We plant, but there is supposed to be a time when we are to be still and know that he is God. And so you don't forget God in vacation or holiday times, but you honor him by, you know, by being still.
Yes. And absolutely. So I read the commentary. I'm trying to remember. I was in Bible college, so it was a long time ago. I never really rechecked it. But there was one commentator that said the 70 years of deportation was the number of years they should have had the land rest on 490 years.
Yeah.
So for every 7 years multiplied by the number of years they were there, that they were missing 70 years of rest that they owed God, and that's how much, how many years they were deported. God is so serious about the rest. God is so serious about if I rewind a little bit, okay, so I look at the law in the Old Testament, you know, I could look at this and then look at it, just like we said earlier, we could look at not of the world, in the world, two different ways. I think we can look at the law two different ways as well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, oh, darn it. You know, I got to do all this. Or I could look at this. Why would God do this? What's behind? What's the heart behind it? And when you look at the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, you might say, wow, you know, like, well, you know, oh, I can't kill, you know, but that also means that my life is preserved.
Yeah.
Or I can't, you know, I can't steal. It also means that that's my property is preserved. So when I look at the benefits of the law and that was given by God and the commandments, then I start to see that God has a heart and behind it. And then comes the Sabbath.
Yeah.
Why would God insist on giving us, you know, a day of rest? Why would he do that? You know, and I think the answer, you said something and was preparing the show today that you didn't say when you mentioned about the year of rest for the, because so the 6 year, you would have to have 3 years worth of
produce.
And then what you said earlier, which I thought was so amazing, is that, okay, well, guys, we need to work next year because this year was so successful. We need to capitalize on that.
Yeah.
It's something, you said something along the line. So why would I, you know, I got 3 years worth. If I work next year, maybe I will get 3 years worth.
Yeah.
And maybe so. God has to stop us because when he provides for us, we think we provided for ourselves.
Exactly.
And we don't realize that whatever, like at our age, we're pretty healthy.
Yeah.
And I think in my age category, it's almost like 65%, 2/3 of men already have like long-term medication. I don't.
Yeah.
So I think it's a privilege for me that I don't have that. You run, you know, you can do, you know, you are healthy. And the thing is, so I can work, I can be, you know, but I don't realize sorry, how much of a privilege this is. Yes, this year was successful, let's say, and I got 3 years worth of you know, harvesting. That does not mean that I succeeded. That means that God told me to stop, and He provides for me so I can stop. And that's where we get things wrong sometimes. I think we don't understand rest because we think everything depends on us.
Exactly.
Like if I go away for a week, you know, the whole thing is going to crumble down to the earth. And that's not true at all. You know, at the end of the day, when you've done everything you and I, when we've done everything you and I were supposed to, Jesus says, you are useless servants.
That's you made him. You made my point better than I was going to make it. But I'm saying, like, you're seeing the provision that God provided as a product of your success.
Absolutely.
And so, wow, look at what happened. And the thing is like you're saying, like when we talked earlier about a person who idolizes his work, then, you know, he's saying, well, this success is on me and I've got to keep expanding. Mm-hmm. And I'm really like, you know, I mean, you could talk about it. There is a business, or it doesn't endorse this show, but there's a business that's very, very popular in the United States, and it's closed on Sundays.
Yes.
And people have said, like, you know, they should do, and they, you know, and they keep their menu very limited.
Yes.
It's like, this is what we do best. We're not going to do anything more.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I worked in a, you know, in a fast food restaurant, in my teenage years, in my early college years. And I can remember, like, every year they would, the business would add something because we want to be different from this business.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like, I kept thinking, like, and then all of a sudden you have these teenagers, where teenagers were working and we're not, you know, there were older people who were sort of managing the restaurant, but most of us were like just stopping there for a few years on our way to our other careers. And it was like, and I remember all of a sudden we had like 16 kind of sandwiches to make. And I'm like going, what happened to just the basic burger?
Yeah.
You know, just the basic burger, you know, that was like, you know, everyone wanted to buy the basic burger or the bigger burger.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why did we like keep adding these things? And you're like, and then all of a sudden it's like, what did I have to listen to the order, and it's like, and people had to wait longer for their food, you know? So, the thing is we think that, you know, the triple harvest in the sixth, if the people understood what God said, He said, I'm going to give you this because you're going to do this. And then there is like, I think in that, okay, there's the Sabbath year. And then the next year, it's like, you're not even supposed to get everything that falls off the trees is supposed to be left to like sort of, you know, be consumed by the animals and rot a little bit and become like compost for the health of the territory, you know? And like, God, I told you this is the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And it's like, and then we know that from the Exodus story that like, when the manna started to come, some people disobeyed God and went out, you know, they saved it and it bred worms.
Yes.
God said, eat it all. Yep. You know, it's like a matter of trust, like, and this is going back to the garden, like Adam and Eve were told, don't eat of that tree. You don't need what you're going to get from that tree because you have everything in me.
Yes.
But they were convinced by the lie.
Yes.
And they ate of it. And we've been, you know, we're workaholics because of that. We wanted we wanted more than we really needed.
Yes. Yeah.
And rest is rest. So,
I think we've made some good points on the holidays.
On that part of it.
You want to talk about holidays and feasts? I think.
Let's talk about holidays and feasts. I mean, there is like this kind of, we have like a legalistic thread about the nature of Christmas. When was Jesus born? Was he born in December? We don't really know that. It's not really defined for us. We don't have like the point. We do have sort of an understanding that Jesus, as the Passover lamb, was offered during the Passover season. So we know that. And so Easter sort of is related, you know, I mean, the Easter bunny has taken over some of Easter. Yeah. I don't like that. I know that the Easter is about Christ's resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this, that during the early church, and it may have happened during the days of Constantine, when he was the emperor of Rome, we do know that Roman culture at that time celebrated the solstice. The winter solstice, which is the shortest day of the year. Yes, it was a pagan holiday. But believers said, could we not? And there is no documentation of this. Like, we know that there were sort of arguments about it, but But it's not, you know, but the culture of the church was, well, the culture that's around us, we are in the world. We are in a world that's celebrating this short day, winter solstice, mm-hmm. with these festivals. Well, couldn't we celebrate the light of the world coming into darkness on the shortest day of sunlight? Could we do that around that? And so that's what I believe and think. Mm-hmm. That's the early church decided, the world is celebrating this culture. We are going to celebrate Jesus coming into the world at the same time. Yes. And maybe they'll ask us questions. Mm-hmm. It could have been a witness. Like, we are celebrating the birth of Jesus coming into the world on the shortest day of the year, because that's when darkness is the most prevalent, mm-hmm. and the light came into the world. So that's how I believe that Christmas was sort of instituted, yeah. at the time that it was. So Easter is related to the Passover, but we know that the Passover was, of course, a celebration and a memorial, and then a feast. And then actually, at the end of the feast, they read Song of Solomon. So it became like, you know, yes, the lamb was slain. We recognize the bitter time. Mm-hmm. That's part of Passover. Pentecost, a big celebration, mm-hmm. of the first fruits of the harvest. The Feast of Booths, the fact that that God kept the people of Israel in the wilderness. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. Again, you know, in Israel, they all build booths and they go out and they live like in tents or something like that, homemade tents to sort of celebrate it. So yeah. These are feasts. And in Zechariah is, you know, is chiding the people of Israel for like having like fasting days that are not celebratory, but are mournful. They are, mm-hmm. sort of like discouraged. You know, he said, why are you fasting that way? He said, you should really fast this way. Give to the poor. Care for the orphans. Don't like just, you know, do something religious. So maybe you could go on like that. So we could be religiously devoted to not celebrating Christmas because, oh, it's a pagan thing. Or we could do what we do, just like moving the time of our service on Super Bowl Sunday, we could celebrate Jesus coming into the world.
Yeah, I mean, the real question is the balance. I understand some Christian sects, you know, don't celebrate. Think about the Jehovah's Witnesses, Christmas, birthdays, you know, all right. The point being is, okay, think about, I'm going to ask you a question. Does December 25 exist?
It does exist.
Okay, so can I celebrate God on that day?
Yeah.
So what's the problem in one way? You could say we can simplify this very, very straightforwardly. Like, I don't know, like, okay, so in Auschwitz, for example, we have a harvest night. It's around the Halloween, you know, people love to do something. We say, well, we don't celebrate this. We celebrate something else. So, or should I just stay home and not move, you know, mm-hmm. by being afraid of people thinking I'm celebrating anything? Should I not smile like that because I'm afraid my neighbor's going to think I'm celebrating Halloween? How far do we go in being legalistic in that way? And I think I understand what people say. Yes, the choice of those days are completely unrelated, at least Christmas, with anything in the Bible. Agreed.
Yeah.
But then can we choose... You know, can they at the time decide, okay, instead of celebrating with them, we're going to celebrate something else. Instead of celebrating the creation, let's celebrate the creator. Because that's exactly what the solstice, the winter solstice was. Mm-hmm. We're looking at creation. We're celebrating the shortest day of the year. There's something to do with the worshiping of the planets. Let's not do that. Let's take advantage of that day of celebration and celebrate Christ instead. Yeah. I see that as very simply for me. I'm not worshiping the creation. I'm worshiping the creator.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want on that day. I chose. And that became an institution in the Christian church. And I'm okay with that. I don't see any problem with it. Because I'm not worshiping. Just like the same thing. The Bible tells us sometimes, do not eat meat that is sacrificed to idols. And then Paul says, yes, you can.
Yeah.
And the difference is very simple. I think it applies with the idea of whether or not we should celebrate Christmas or our birthdays. The distinction in Revelation versus Romans 14, in Revelations, it is said, you shall not eat, you know, the meat sacrificed to idols, because in that context, they are sacrificed and eaten in the temple.
Yes.
In Romans 14, they're not. They are sacrificed and sold outside the temple. Mm. And you can buy these because it's cheaper. And the funniest thing is cheaper because they present the worst animal possible to their God. That's how much they care. Yeah. So that's why you can have affordable meat. Paul says, if it's not a problem for you, go ahead and eat it. If it's a problem for your brothers, don't eat it in front of him. Mm. And that's the difference. And I think for me, it's the same way. Well, you know, don't go and celebrate the pagan holidays.
Mm-hmm.
But you can celebrate, you know, you can celebrate something else that day. It's fine completely.
Yeah. You know, every day is a gift from the Lord.
Every day
you
is a gift worship from the Lord.
Okay, let's take this. Okay, so we tell everybody at the end of our program that you can find archived programs of the Grace Hour show at YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify.
It's a compromise.
And if you go to Google Podcasts and Spotify and YouTube, you will surely find some atheist out there
you think so?
Talking about the fact that his belief that there is no God.
So
why are we doing podcasts?
Yes, and why
we are in the world? We are doing something of the world. You know, we're here. You know, we are standing on truth, and we are talking about truth, and that's the whole idea. It's, you know, we're trying to strike a balance. We're trying to, well, friends, if you're watching us, we're trying to release you.
Yes.
We're trying to help you find your release in God. And, you know, when Jesus said the Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath, your rest can be according to your cadence of life.
Yes.
And you can go on a vacation with your family when you want to, and do as God leads you to do with that. And no one should be judging you about taking that. You can celebrate the holidays the way that you want. Some people insist on eating lamb on Easter, and that if you don't eat lamb on Easter, that's like, we generally eat a glazed ham, which is an unclean animal, according to the Old Testament. It's from a pig. Yes, you know, we understand that, but you know, so... Okay, you celebrate that way. We're going to celebrate this way, and we're going to have an Easter egg hunt. We are, for my grandchildren. They're going to go out and find little treats and Easter eggs, plastic things like that. We're going to do it, and we're just going to celebrate it that way. And but the thing is we do emphasize the fact that Easter is glorious.
Yes.
It is the day that Christ came out of the grave. Christmas is glorious. It's the day that the incarnation was realized. With birth through the Virgin Mary. So we're going to do that kind of thing. And you can rest or you can be all agitated about it because actually you're working yourself up. You're not resting at all by telling us we need, by telling those who celebrate these things that they need to do it another way. You're not at rest.
Yes.
You are the one.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend you, but maybe.
I agree with you. I think let's go back to, I'm going to read Romans 6:13, you know, where Paul says that, so do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. Now, whatever we do can be like a holiday, Christmas, birthdays, microphones for podcasts.
Yes.
Some people use those and Spotify, all this, as an instrument of wickedness. We can use those as an instrument of righteousness.
Yeah.
And I think it all goes back to the idea of my motivation. If I, according to Colossians 3:17, do everything for the glory of God, then I turn everything I do an instrument of righteousness. Guess what? When you talk to Jesus to people on Christmas, they are more receptive.
Yeah.
That's me using this day as an instrument of righteousness versus an instrument of wickedness. That's as simple as that for me.
That's right. Yeah, I think I think we covered this.
I think we covered it. Even Jehu is happy, Jehu is never happy normally with us. I think he's happy when you're around, but not with me. I don't know why.
And I think it's time to rest.
I think it's
we
time
should
to
give
rest.
Our voices a rest. Yes. We've been talking for 45 minutes.
I think we need to.
Well, we're very thankful that you've joined us on this podcast. I hope you found it edifying, and maybe you really just take some time to think, be still before the Lord. I think that's very important. Just to take a time of stillness and just have that kind of thing. However you do that, God can lead you. God can lead you through the Psalms. God can bring you to that place to be still and know that He is God. And that's ultimately what we want you to understand. And so for Philippe Siragi, I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis. And again, I said earlier, you can find archived editions of the Grace Hour show at YouTube, Apple, Google, Spotify, and more. And so they're going to be talking about the subject all week, being in the world, not of it. Join the Grace Hour show tomorrow at this time. Again, gracehour.org is a podcast website, and you can find all the details about what we do here at the Grace Hour. So thanks to Jehu Vandiver for being on the board, not falling asleep, not resting at all, keeping us out there so that, you could hear what we had to say. God bless you on this Tuesday. Have a great rest of the week, everybody.